first is from Romans chapter 12, and it's verses 1 and 2. Paul writes this. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And our second reading comes from the Old Testament, from the prophet Micah. Micah 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, let's just take a moment to pray. Welcome to all those who've been joining us. And we're going to pray and we're going to look at these scriptures together. So, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this call on our lives to live for you. And I pray, Lord, help and encourage each one of us this morning. Amen. One of the real joys of being a parent, and if you've got kids, you'll know this, is that when we see something of ourselves reflected in our children, perhaps it's that they just do something just the same way that we do it, or perhaps we see one of our characteristics, our character traits, borne out in how they live. And when you have those moments, you can't help but swell with pride when it's something positive and remark how much like that your partner they are when it's not something perhaps so positive. My daughter, my eldest daughter, Elizabeth, for example, has this same gift that I do. She loves to have fun playing with words, coming up with silly lyrics to popular songs. And you know what? Even when her seven-year-old humour and language choices doesn't quite amuse her mum and I in quite the way she might have intended it, I still just can't help but go, "That's my girl. I love you, kiddo." And you know what? In a not too dissimilar way, God takes enormous delight in us when he sees the traits of Jesus in our lives. When we start to display his family likeness in our day-to-day living. That's what he loves. And as you see in our readings today, that is actually the deepest act of worship that we are called to by Jesus. Because to live as Jesus did, or to do our best at doing that, is the greatest act of worship that any of us can take part in. It brings God the deepest level of parental delight and in us that you can imagine. Now, through our series on worship, we've been looking at different aspects of what worship looks like through the summer. And a lot of those have been focused around some of the things we do when we gather together, either in church or online. And today I really want to try and unpack this core New Testament idea that what we do in church is actually simply to set us up for a greater act of worship. It's to prepare us for that daily act of worshiping God by living like Jesus. We just heard from Romans 12, and Paul, writing to that church, says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's interesting because what Paul is doing here is he's drawing a parallel between how we live and how people were worshipping God in the temple at that time. Now, if you've heard me talk before, you will know that in the first century, worship contained a lot of sacrificing of animals as part of it. And what Paul is doing, as Jesus often did, is to take an idea that was well known to all and then move it forwards to transform it into a different way of understanding the same concept. So he says, we're no longer to bring animals to sacrifice, but instead we become the sacrifice. By living sacrificially, our daily life becomes this precious gift that is offered up to God as an act of worship. And that sacrifice is both holy, which means we're setting our life apart for God so that he can work in it and through it, but it's also acceptable to God. In other words, this is exactly what God longs to see. People who live differently because they know him. They display the family likeness. That's the thing that God is looking for. That's the thing that God wants to see, because that's what is acceptable to him. And this, Paul writes in the NRSV, which we use translation here in church, is to be our spiritual worship. But actually, the Greek word that's been translated there is word logikos, is actually notoriously difficult to translate into English, largely because there is no direct equivalent word. And so if you've heard these very well-known verses from Romans 12, you might have heard it rendered in all sorts of different ways. You might have heard that word rendered as this being our true worship. There's quite a lot of translations choose that option. Perhaps if you grew up with the King James, you'll have heard it described as this is our reasonable worship. Whichever word the translators choose, they're all trying to get around a similar sort of idea. That being a living sacrifice is the sort of reasoned, logical, most deeply true, most spiritually considered response to God's love for us. And while the word logikos is difficult to translate, verse 2 adds some much needed clarity, because Paul spells out what it looks like. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We are to allow that to be our guiding principle in life. This process of transformation into the likeness of Jesus, that is the thing that we need to use as our primary reference for how we do everything in life. And the reverse of that, of course, is that we need to not be conformed to this world. We need to not allow the prevailing trends of our society in whatever period of history we've had the fortune to have tipped up into. We're not to allow those things to be our primary guide in how we shape and make life choices. We need to be open to what God says and asks of us ahead of what the wider world might be saying. And I think that's as true for us now. We face just as many challenges as Paul's original hearers of this letter being read to them did 2,000 years ago, because we are to live counter to the narratives of our world. We're to live counter to things like being defined by our material wealth, being defined by our success, or ideas like, well, truth is relative and it's only really my truth that matters and your truth can be totally different. We need to open ourselves up so that we might discern not my truth, somebody else's truth, our version of success, but what God's will in those things is for us. How do we do it? Well, again, no silver bullets here, people, but it's the building blocks of having a relationship with God. We do it through daily prayer, daily Bible study, by getting together, sharing life and time and our ideas and conversation with other Christians, by getting together like this on a Sunday to worship together. These are all places that will help shape and form and prepare us for understanding what God's will is, both for the world and for our lives. I know we're still in the summer, but in our autumn term, as a little preview, we're going to be looking at together as a whole church at what does it mean to live by God's kingdom values. And we're going to try and spend a term, 6 weeks or so, going really deep into that topic. and that's going to be on Sundays, but it's also going to have midweek group options as well. So perhaps if this is something you're kind of going, well, I understand what you mean, Andrew, but I'm not quite sure what it looks like, then I hope that that autumn and joining in with one of those groups is going to be an opportunity for you to really look at going, what does it look like to live out this stuff every day? And this idea of life as worship is not just a New Testament idea. We hear the exact same idea in the Old Testament through the prophet Micah. And the little snippet that we've had is in two parts. And the first part, starting at verse 6, is asking God. It's saying, well, Lord, how should we worship you? What are you looking for? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? I.e., what should I be doing in worship, Lord? And then he lists off these things. Should I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Now, again, all of those are images of sacrifice, and they are common to the people's religious experience and church, temple worship of that day. Those are all the things you should expect to have to come and do as part of worshipping God. And yet, the answer that Micah receives to those questions is quite different. Here's what comes back from God. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? The response is clear. Worship is primarily about how we live. It's about to do justice. It's about loving kindness and walking humbly, i.e. acknowledging God as the way and as the path to life in all its fullness. And that's what walking humbly with him means. Now, all of which, of course, is not to say that what we do when we gather together online or church is unimportant. Far from it. Just look back over the last 4 weeks of teaching on our website and you will hear some of the riches of why we worship, of how we can worship and what God does when we do that, when we gather together. But it's important to remember that gathering together to worship online or in church is not the goal in and of itself. Because knowing Jesus and the transformation he brings in our lives, that is the goal. That's the purpose of Christian faith, is to know Jesus, to experience his transforming love in our lives. And understanding how worship fits into that is really important, because worshipping together on a Sunday like we are doing now is what prepares us for the bigger act of worship. But what we're doing right now is not the totality of our worship. It's one part and a preparatory part of it. Because what we do with the other 167 hours in the week is the ultimate bigger picture of worshipping God. And living by his example, by the example of Jesus, is our top aim. It is the Creator's handbook for life, if you like. It's the pattern that God has devised from the very beginning to be a source of blessing and life to us. Because when we do that, that's where our Creator, where God, this loving heavenly parent, sees the very best traits of his Son reflected back in our living. It's where God takes this deepest pride and joy when he sees us living like this and he goes, do you know what? That's my child. And do you know what, kiddo? I love you to bits. It's how we will best reflect back the love that we've received from God. And that, my friends, is our truest act of, our most spiritual act of worship of God. And I pray that God encourages you to step out that little bit, to grow more into that likeness of Christ this week. Amen.